إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 14th session. Reading from some commentaries on Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah by Imam Abu Ja'far Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Salama Al-Tahawi rahimahullah. In tonight's session, we're going to be looking at a new topic that is related to the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Quran being the speech of Allah, and that it is not created. Before we look at tonight's topic, inshallah, we're going to go over some of the issues that we discussed last week. And I realized after the fact that last week's session was taking exclusively from the commentary of Al-Imam Muhammad Nasiruddin Al-Albani, rahimahullah. And whoever is not reading from the Arabic text wouldn't have had access to that commentary, so a person would have had to have taken notes or went back to the recording to look at the issues that we discussed. But in any case, yani that's part of learning. Sometimes it's easy and sometimes it's a little more difficult. So if you don't have the book in front of you that you actually can read from, then you have to try to take notes or you have to go back and listen to. And alhamdulillah, the recordings are available. So tonight, bi-idhni Allah ta'ala, we're going to look at some of the issues that we discussed last week related to the 30th, 31st, and 32nd statement of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi. He made four statements related to the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And last week we looked at the final three, the second, third, and fourth point, which are numbered in the Arabic text as 30, 31, and 32. In Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan's explanation, they are numbered as 42, 43, and 44 in Arabic, and one number less in English. Yani in other words, the first point was point number 42 in Arabic, 41 in English. And Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, his commentary on Al-Aqidah Tahawiyyah. And last week we looked at what he numbered as 42, 43, and 44, or in English, 41, 42, and 43. So the first question that we had from last week's study guide for lecture number 13 after the Ramadan break, what is the first matter of the 30th statement, or 42nd, or 41st, if you're looking at English? What is the first matter of the 30th statement of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi? The first matter of the 30th statement of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi that Imam Al-Albani commented upon. The first matter from the 30th statement that Al-Imam Al-Albani commented upon. Now, Ali. Okay, now Abdul Wali.
Is that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the final prophet, the foremost of the pious, and the chief of the messengers, and the beloved of Rabbil Alameen?
Tayyib, that is, yani, the 30th statement of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi. And it's composed of four points, four qualities or characteristics of the prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sheikh Al-Albani commented only on two of them. So what's the first matter from those four points that he commented upon? Naam. Shanawaz. Sayyid al-Mursaleen. Yani, the first point that Sheikh al-Albani comments upon from that 30th statement is the statement that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Sayyid al-Mursaleen. Question number two. What are the two deviations mentioned by al-Imam al-Albani of the people who reject this matter of aqidah? Yani, what is the two deviations that the Shaykh mentions concerning those who reject this aqidah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Sayyid al-Mursaleen? What did he say? People deviated on two matters related to this. Naam, I don't. Your name? Is that Sharif?
Yes, no.
Oh, okay. I can't see very well. And these glasses are for reading, not for seeing far. Naam, fadl. Okay, Sayyid al-Mursaleen is, yani, related to a different matter. Then he is the Khatam al-Anbiya. And he said that the people deviated in reference to this in two deviations, two deviations. Now, Muhammad. Yeah, the Sheikh commented on this. He said the people deviated in reference to this on two areas, two deviations. Now, the first deviation was the people who rejected him being Sayyid al-Mursaleen because it didn't come in a hadith that's mutawatir. And they made it as a condition, ishtaratu, that the hadith or the aqeedah, yani the hadith that we must believe in related to aqeedah, it has to be mutawatir. It has to be mutawatir. This is the deviation because there's no foundation for it or basis for it in the Sharia, nor was it the position of the early generations of the Muslims. Second deviation. Now,
it has to be in the Quran.
The second deviation was those who said that matters of aqeedah may only be derived from the Qur'an. It has to be in the Qur'an. If it's not in the Qur'an, we don't have to accept it. These are the two deviations that the Shaykh mentioned. And it's important for us to be conscious of these things. Because it will explain to us why, one of the reasons why people deviate is because they reject certain evidences without any basis for rejecting them. Without any basis for rejecting them. Tayyib, question number three. What is the second matter of the 30th statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi? Yani it's numbered by Sheikh Salih Fawzan as 42 or 41 in English. What is the second matter of the 30th statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi that Imam Al-Albani commented upon? What is the second matter that he also commented upon? Commented on two of the four matters in this statement. Naam, Adam. Now, the statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi that the Prophet ﷺ is Habibu Rabbil Alameen. This is the second matter that Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah commented upon. Question number four. Why does Imam Al-Albani reject the description of the Prophet ﷺ as Habibu Rabbil Alameen? Yani why is it that he rejects this description? Yani this sounds like a good description. He is beloved of the Rabbil Alameen. So what is the reason why he rejected this? Now, Muhammad?
Because the Prophet is at a higher level than just Habib, he is Khalilullah, which puts him as the highest level of Allah.
Naam. Because the actual description that the Prophet is more worthy of is higher than Habibu Rabbil Alameen. Because this is something that may refer to any of the believers. Every person who has Iman is beloved by Allah, Ar-Rahman, Rabbil Alameen. But the level of the Prophet ﷺ is above the rest of the people, and that is the level of Al-Khulla, that he is Khalil, Rabbil Alameen. And this is a higher level and a more perfect and complete and exclusive level than just Al-Muhabba. Question number five. Mention a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ states that Allah has taken him as a Khalil. Abdul Wali.
Number 532. No. If I were to take anyone as a Khalil, I would have taken the son of Abu Hufa as a Khalil, but your companion is the Khalil of Allah. Even Prophet Muhammad
saw all this. This is a narration, and there are various narrations. The narration, and there are various narrations where the Prophet mentions this particular characteristic, but the one that the Shaykh mentioned, the one that Shaykh al-Albani mentioned in his commentary, is Naam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken me as a Khalil, just as he has taken Ibrahim as a Khalil. And like I said, there are various narrations that are authentic. But the one that the Shaykh mentioned, and again I'm going to that you excuse me for these questions all coming from the Arabic text and not being available to everyone. But in any case, any one of those hadith are correct. The hadith that we specifically were looking for is the hadith that the Shaykh mentioned. In any case, any one of them that mentions him as Khalil is acceptable. Question number six, which is related to the 31st statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi, or as in the numbering of Shaykh Fawzan, it's numbered as 43 in Arabic and 42 in English. What is the 31st statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi and a summary of Imam Al-Albani's comment upon it? What is the 31st statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi? نعم تفضل.
كل دعوة النبوية بعد نبويته
نبوة
دعوة
النبوة
تغيّن وهوى.
نعم, that every claim to النبوة, every claim to prophethood after the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, يعني after the Prophet, any claim to prophethood is misguidance, is astray, is just following a person's desires or evil inclinations. This is the 31st statement. And yani in brief, what did the Shaykh yani say concerning this? Somebody, what was the Shaykh al-Albani's yani brief commentary upon this particular matter? Anybody remember? Yani that, you know.
Well, he mentioned that, obviously, that any claim to a prophethood is, I mean, to see it lying and even
before. Okay, any claim to prophethood is false, naam. But he also said that the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has informed and warned and advised his ummah in numerous ahadith concerning this matter. He said what? Yeah, he informed the ummah. He advised the ummah in numerous hadith that there would come many great liars after him. Many great liars after him claiming prophethood. And more specifically, in question number 7, mention a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam categorically rejects any claim to nubuwwah or prophethood after him. What did he say to categorically cut off any claim to prophethood? What did anybody remember? He said, "Ana naam khatam al-nabiyyin, khatam al-anbiya." And he said that what? La nabiyya ba'di. And this, yani these two statements together, yani reject and cut off any possibility of a claim to prophethood, because he said, "I am the seal of the prophets." And in case a person like the Ahmadiyya Qadianis interpreted that with a different meaning, khatam, they said it's the seal of approval, not that he's the final prophet. Then he said after that, "La nabiyya ba'di." And this is la nafil in jins, which means that there's absolutely, in Arabic language, crystal clear, that it means that there's absolutely no prophet to come after him. Question number 8 mentioned, and this is the 32nd statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi, Sheikh Salih Fawzan's Arabic commentary, numbers it as 44 and in English 43. Mentioned the 32nd statement of the author, Al-Imam At-Tahawi. What is the 32nd statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi? Final statement related to the Prophet, Adam.
Huwa
al-mab'uthu
ila 'amatil jinni wa kafatil wara. بالحق والهدى بالنور
وبن
نور
والضياء. Somebody translate. What is the meaning? Naam, Ali.
He was sent to all of the jinn and all of mankind with truth, guidance, light.
Naam, he was sent to all of the jinn and all of mankind with the truth and light. And light, truth. بالهدى والحق والهدى. The truth and the right guidance and the light and illumination. Naam. The final question, what is the and this word is spelled wrong here, what is the deviant group and what is their deviation? Mentioned by Imam Al-Albani concerning this statement. What is the deviant group and what is their deviation? Mentioned by Sheikh Al-Albani concerning this statement. Naam, Shanawaz. The deviant group is the Qadianis, and they're also known as Ahmadiyya. They're also known as the Ahmadiyya. Naam. And their deviation concerning this final matter?
They reject that the jinn are a creation different from the
deity. They reject that there's a creation, the jinn, that they are a creation that's different from the human beings, a different creation from the human beings. Yani they try to claim that the jinn are just, yani a type or a group from amongst the human beings, that they are not something different, a different creation. So these are some of the points that we discussed last week, and tonight, بإذن الله تعالى, we want to look at the new topic, and that is the Quran being the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very important topic. The Shaykh or Al-Imam, the author Al-Imam At-Tahawi, mentions it as the 33rd statement in the Arabic text. Sheikh Salih Fawzan has divided this complete statement concerning the Quran being the speech of Allah, he has divided into parts, and each part he has numbered with a separate number. So he numbered them number 45 to 53. Yani 9 points. He took from this one statement. 9 points. Which is really interesting if you think about it, because Yani Al-Imam al-Tahawi has given one complete discussion concerning the Qur'an being the speech of Allah, but he has mentioned several points, and Sheikh Saleh Fawzan has separated them, Yani individually, into each individual point as 9 points, and they are numbered in Arabic from 45 to 53 in English, obviously from 44 to 52. Tonight, inshallah, we're going to look at a little bit of it, and next week, inshallah, we'll continue with it. I just want to read his entire statement, just so that we get the complete picture as a whole, before we start taking it apart and looking at the various points that may be derived from this statement, the 33rd statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah. So he begins by saying, وَإِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ وَإِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ Yani indeed, the Qur'an is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مِنْهُ بَدَى بلا كيفية قولا منه بدا يعني the Quran came forth, it began, it originated from him, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بلا كيفية قولا يعني it originated from Allah as actual speech. And قولا here is masdar mutlaq that indicates يعني that this is not figurative or allegorical, this speech, but it's real speech. And in the Arabic language this is understood, that when he said here يعني قولاً, it means that it came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning he spoke the words of the Qur'an with actual real speech. بِلَا كَيْفِيَةٍ يعني بِلَا كَيْفِيَةٍ is in reference to how did he speak, the manner of his speech. He said, يعني بِلَا كَيْفِيَةٍ يعني without us making any attempt to explain how he spoke. يعني we believe that the Qur'an came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he spoke the words of the Qur'an as real speech. And we believe that without trying to explain how his speech is. How his speech is. And as we'll see as we go through this discussion, this is the same as what we have discussed previously in Al-Aqidah al-Wasatiyah concerning the principles of Asma wa Sifat. And that is that the Sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their meanings are known. And we know what power means, we know what knowledge means, but how is Allah's power, how is His knowledge, we don't know that, the kayfiyah. So this is the same thing that he is saying here, bila kayfiyah, meaning we don't attempt to explain how Allah spoke, what is the manner of His speaking. He said, وَأَنْزَلَهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ وَحْيًا And He sent it down upon His Messenger as revelation. Any revelation? That was delivered to the Prophet ﷺ by the angel Jibril. وَصَدَّقَهُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ حَقًّا And the believers confirmed it. Yani confirmed this Qur'an as being revelation delivered by the angel Jibril to the Prophet ﷺ. They confirmed it as haqq, yani as being truth, as being true. وَأَيْقَنُوا أَنَّهُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِالْحَقِيقَةِ And the believers, they were certain that it is the speech of Allah the Most High, بِالْحَقِيقَةِ Yani, in reality. That it is the speech of Allah, real speech. Not allegorical, not figurative. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually spoke in a manner that befits His majesty and His glory and His greatness. And we don't know exactly how is the speech of Allah, just like we don't know how is, yani, the ascending of Allah above the, yani, up to the heavens. And we don't know how is His descending to the lowest heaven in the last third of the night. But we know Allah descends and He ascends, and that He has power and He has knowledge. And in this case, that Allah speaks. And that the believers are certain that it was the Qur'an, that it is the speech of Allah the Most High in reality. وَلَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوقٍ كَكَلَامِ الْبَرِيَّةِ And that it is not makhluq. Yani the Qur'an is not something created like the speech of the created beings. Yani the speech of creatures, human or otherwise, is created. The speech of Allah is not created. And this is a very important point, because this was the point of deviation of many of the people, yani who deviated from the sunnah. It is not makhluk, it is not created like the speech of the creatures. فَمَنْ سَمِيَهُ وَزَعَمَ أَنَّهُ كَلَامُ الْبَشَرِ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ So whoever has heard the Quran and claims that it is the speech of human beings, then this person has surely, definitely disbelieved. And this is kufr, to claim that the Quran is the speech of human beings, or other than, of any created being. وَقَدْ ذَمَّهُ اللَّهُ وَعَابَهُ وَأَوْعَدَهُ بِالسَّقْرِ. And indeed Allah has blamed, ذَمَّهُ اللَّهُ وَعَابَهُ, and criticized such a person, وَأَوْعَدَهُ, and threatened this person with being thrown in the hellfire. حَيْثُ قَالَ تَعَالَى سَأُسْلِيهِ سَقْرِ. Yani where Allah the Most High says in Surah Al-Muddathir, 74th Surah, 26th Ayah, that I will throw him into the hellfire. فَلَمَّا أَوْعَدَ اللَّهُ بِالسَّكْرِ لِمَنْ قَالَ إِنَّ هَذَا إِلَّا قَوْلُ الْبَشَرِ عَلِمْنَا وَأَيْقَنَّا أَنَّهُ قَوْلُ خَالِقِ الْبَشَرِ وَلَا يُشْبِهُ قَوْلُ الْبَشَرِ. So, Al-Imam At-Tahawi, he closes this point by saying, when Allah the Most High says that I will cast him into the hellfire, since he said that, he will cast into the hellfire the one who said, this Quran is no more than the speech of a human being. From this we came to know and are certain that the Quran is the speech of the creator of the human beings, and it in no way resembles the speech of human beings. And when Allah threatened to punish a person in the hellfire for claiming that the Quran is the speech of a human being, we know from that for sure, and we are certain that it could not be the speech of human beings, and that rather it is the speech of the creator of the human beings, and it doesn't resemble the speech of human beings in any way whatsoever. So again, as I mentioned in the beginning, that Sheikh Salih Fawzan, we are primarily relying upon his complete explanation, even though it is brief, explanation of this aqidah of Al-Imam At-Tahawi rahimahullah. He has numbered this one point, the 33rd statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi, he has numbered it as 45 through 53. 9 points he has divided into, and we're going to look at a couple of them tonight, and we'll continue in the next session, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. In English, it's numbered from 44 to 52. The first point, and we're going to be looking at all of this that we're going to be covering tonight in the next session, inshallah, is the 33rd statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi. But we're going to be looking at the numbers of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah. We're going to look at the numbers that he has given, the numbers that he has given to each of these 9 points, as he has divided it into 9 points. We're going to be looking at those numbers, so it's easy to follow if somebody's following in Arabic or they're following in English. The number is just one difference. And in Arabic it's 45, and in English it's 44. وَأَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. And let me just say, I know we don't have a lot of time, but اللهم استعان. We're going to take just a couple of points tonight and look at the commentary of Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, and then we'll continue the next week. That this is a very important matter, especially if you consider that Al-Imam At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, says, yani that the person who contradicts this reality, this truth, this aqidah, that the Quran is the speech of Allah and it's not created, the person who says other than that, who believes other than that, has fallen into disbelief. This is kufr. So this is a serious matter. Yani the deviations of the people of deviation are many. Al-Imam, the explanation of Al-Aqidah Tahawiyya by Ibn Abi al-Izz, rahimahullah, and his explanation is a comprehensive, thorough explanation, and he mentions 9 different opinions concerning the speech of Allah in detail, and refutes, explains the basis of their false ideas and the refutation against them. But what we have from Sheikh Salih Fawzan is the summary of that, so the person can read easily and know what we believe, and also have some idea of some of the deviation of the people of deviation, their main deviations, have some idea what they are saying. But it's not important what they're saying. What's important is what we are supposed to believe. What came is confirmed in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And this is what Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, has given us in summary form. That's easy for a person to know what's correct, so that you will not be misled when you hear something different. Point number 45. Sheikh Al-Imam At-Tahawi says, وَأَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. وَأَنَّ Al-Qur'ana, Kalamullah. Indeed, definitely, certainly, the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. Shaykh Salih says, بَعْدَ أَن تُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَتُؤْمِنَ بِرَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ تُؤْمِنَ أَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ لِأَنَّ هَذَا هُوَ الَّذِي جَاءَ بِهِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنَ. He said, after you have been required to believe in Allah, after you have believed in Allah Azza wa Jalla, and you have believed in His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, now you must believe that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. You believe in Allah, you believe in the Messenger of Allah, and next, the sequence, yani, is that if you believe in Allah and you believe in the Messenger of Allah, then you must believe that the Qur'an, yani, is the speech of Allah that He revealed to His Messenger. It's the speech of Allah that He revealed to His Messenger. And this is because the Qur'an is that which the Messenger came with. He came with the Qur'an. You believe in the Messenger? That he is the Messenger of Allah, so he came with the Qur'an, the speech of Allah. And Allah has revealed upon him, or has revealed to him, this Qur'an. هذا القرآن ليس من كلام محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا من كلام جبريل عليه السلام إنما هو كلام الله عز وجل تكلم الله به. He said, this Qur'an is not the speech of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Even though, يعني, some people might misunderstand, yani, the speech of Allah that came in reference to the, yani, the Messenger, yani, who came, yani, with this Quran, or the angel who came with this Quran. Yani, the Shaykh is saying here, this is not the speech of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nor is it the speech of Jibril, but rather it is the speech of Allah azza wa jalla. تكلم الله به. Allah actually spoke the words of the Quran. He spoke the words of the Quran. وتلقاه جبريل من الله. And Jibril alayhi salam received it, received the Quran directly from Allah, not from the Lawh al-Mahfuz. He received it directly from Allah, hearing the speech of Allah. He heard, yani, the speech of Allah, masmu'. He heard it. وَتَلَقَّاهُ النَّبِيِّ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ مِنْ جِبْرِيلَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received it, alayhi salam, he received it from Jibril alayhi salam. وَتَلَقَّتْهُ الْأُمَّةُ مِنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And the Ummah received this Qur'an from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the chain of revelation. Yani, Allah spoke the words of the Qur'an and Jibril alayhi salam received these words. He heard these words directly from Allah, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard it directly from Jibril, and the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَهُوَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. So indeed it is the speech of Allah. مِنْهُ بَدَى. Yani, Al-Imam Al-Tahawi, in his speech, he said that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. مِنْهُ بَدَى بِلَا كَيْفِيَّةٍ قَوْلًا. يعني مِنْهُ بَدَى, يعني ظَهَرَ مِنْهُ. يعني it came, it appeared, it came forth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. مِنْهُ بَدَى subhanahu. لَمْ يَأْخُذْهُ جِبْرِيلْ مِنَ اللَّهُ الْمَحْفُوظِ كَمَا يَقُولُ أَهْلُ الدَّلَالِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ مِنْ كَلَامِ جِبْرِيلْ وَلَا مُحَمَّدٍ صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما هو كلام رب العالمين. He said, so منه بدا means that this speech, yani the Quran, it came from Allah Himself. It originated from Allah, Him speaking the words of the Quran. Jibril عليه السلام didn't take it from the Lawh al-Mahfuz, the preserved tablet, where the revelations are preserved and where the decrees are preserved. He didn't take it from Lawh al-Mahfuz, as was said by some of the people of misguidance. In other words, because they want to deny Allah's speech, and this is the Mu'tazila, Jahmiyyah, they want to deny Allah's speech as they deny His sifat, because they are fearing that if we affirm that Allah speaks, then we are making comparison between Allah and the created beings that speak. So they denied Allah's sifat, including His speech. He said that these people, one of their claims is that Jibril didn't hear it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather he took it from the Lawh al-Mahfuz. He took it from the Lawh al-Mahfuz. Shaykh is saying, no, he didn't take it from Lawh al-Mahfuz, as some of the people of misguidance said. Nor was this the speech of Jibril himself, alayhi salam, nor the speech of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but rather it is the speech of the Rabb al-Alameen. Speech of the Rabb al-Alameen. Amma Jibril wa Muhammad alayhi wa sallam, as for Jibril and the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wa sallam, fahuma muballighani anillah azza wa jalla. So they are only, yani, ones who, they are the ones who delivered the message, bearers of the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angel Jibril conveyed it from Allah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet conveyed it from the angel Jibril to the people. They are only مُبَلِّغَانِ عَنِ اللَّهِ, yani they are conveying, delivering the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here the Shaykh makes a statement, it's a very important statement. And it's like, yani logic, it's logic. He said, فَالْكَلَامُ إِنَّمَا يُقَالْ وَيُضَافْ لِمَنْ قَالَهُ مُبْتَدِئًا. That kalam, speech, it is said to be, or it is attributed to, the one who first spoke it. The one who said it first, it's attributed to that person, not somebody who heard it and conveyed that I heard so-and-so saying this. Or I read somebody's writing this. The speech is attributed to the one who said it first. وَلَا مَنْ قَالَهُ مُبَلِّغًا مُؤَدِّيًا. It's not attributed to the person who conveys it, who is delivering that speech from the actual speaker. So this is logic, and it is easy to comprehend, that the one who first said any words is the one who it is attributed to, not to anybody who heard it or read it later and conveyed from that person. So even though the angel Jibril conveyed the Quran from Allah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's not his speech, he's just delivering the message. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveyed it to the ummah, it's not his speech, it's not his speech. He said, so فَمَنْ قَالَ إِنَّ جِبْرِيلَ أَخَذَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْمَحْفُوظِ أَوْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَهُ فِي شَيْءٍ, yani something in the creation, وَأَخَذَهُ جِبْرِيلَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الشَّيْءٍ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ كُفْرًا مُخْرِجًا مِنَ الْمِلَّةِ كَمَا تَقُولُهُ الْجَهْمِيَةُ وَالْمُعْتَزِلَةُ وَمَنْ نَهَى نَحْوَهُمْ. He said, so whoever says that Jibril took the Quran from the preserved tablet, Allah al-Mahfuz, the protected or preserved tablet, or whoever says that Allah created the Quran in something, in some place in the creation, and it didn't come from Allah, rather He created the Quran somewhere, some place, in something, in the creation, and Jibril took the Quran from that thing that Allah created it in. Whoever says this, this person is a kafir, a disbeliever in Allah Azza wa Jalla. What kind of kufr? Kufr that removes a person completely from Islam. This person is a kafir who is completely removed from Islam. And this is the saying of the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila and whoever followed their path. Rather, the truth is, فَهُوَ يعني الْقُرْآنُ هُوَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ حُرُوفُهُ وَمَعَانِهِ تَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ بِهِ كَيْفَ شَاءَ. يعني rather, the Quran is the speech of Allah. It's letters that make up the words, and its meanings that are contained in those words. All of this is the speech of Allah. Allah spoke those words. كَيْفَ شَاءَ. However He willed. He spoke them, and however He willed. فَنَحْنُ نَصِفُ اللَّهِ بِأَنَّهُ يَتَكَلَّمُ. So we describe Allah by saying that He speaks. We describe Allah saying that He speaks. This is from the characteristics or qualities from the sifat of Allah, is that He speaks. وَالْكَلَامُ مِنْ صِفَاتِهِ الْفِعْلِيَّةِ. And speech, speaking, is from His action sifat. It's from His sifat, الْفِعْلِيَّةِ. وَالْكَيْفِيَّةُ الَّتِي تَكَلَّمَ بِهَا نَقُولُ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِهَا. And as far as the manner of Allah's speech, how He speaks, the kayfiyyah, which He spoke, yani the words of the Quran with, what do we say about that? We say, Allahu a'lamu biha. Allah is the one who knows how, the kayfiyyah of Allah's speech. He's the one who knows how it was, what is its manner. And then he says, as a rule, هذه كسائر صفاته. This is just like the rest of His sifat. Yani that we affirm their meanings that are known, but we don't, and he tried to explain the how of them. Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah said, as we mentioned previously in Aqidah, Al-Wasatiyah, he said, when a person asks him about istiwa Allah, and istiwa ar-Rahman ala al-Arsh istiwa, that Allah ascended above the Arsh, he said, Al-Istiwa ma'lum, wal-kayf majhool, wal-iman bihi wajib, wa-su'al anhu bid'ah. Yani that the istiwa, yani we know in Arabic language what it means, ascension. But the how of Allah's istiwa is majhul. It's not known. To believe in it is obligatory because Allah said it about Himself. And to ask about how did Allah ascend is innovation because nobody from before, from the companions of those who came after them, up until the time of Imam Malik, nobody asked, how is Allah's ascension? And this is the rule that we say about the sifat of Allah. Yani, the sifat, the meanings of them are ma'loom, are known. The how, the kayfiyah, is majhul, is unknown. Believing in them are obligatory because they are confirmed in the Quran and Sunnah. And asking about the how is that which we don't do. We don't ask, how is Allah's sifat? In fact, it is also narrated, as Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, says, that the statement of Imam Malik more accurately is reported as, يعني الاستواء معلوم والكيف يعني الاستواء معقول والكيف غير معقول. يعني Allah's ascension is something that can be comprehended by the intellect. But the how of it cannot be comprehended by the intellect of the human being. Not just it's not known, it can't be known how Allah ascended or the how of any of Allah's sifat. So he said, this kalam is from Allah's sifat, al-fi'liyah, His action sifat. And just quickly, remember the sifat of Allah, we said are divided from different perspectives into different categories. So as far as this category of sifat fi'liyah, it is in contrast to a sifat. What kind of sifat? Al-dhatiyah. Who said that? MashaAllah, Ahmed. Al-sifat fi'liyah is in contrast to al-sifat al-dhatiyah. Al-dhatiyah means these are the things that Allah is described with and always was described with and are inseparable from Him. Al-fi'liyah means the things that He does when He wills. Whenever He wills, however He wills. Al-fi'liyah is connected to His irada that Allah does whenever He wills. So this is from the sifat al-fi'liyah from one side. And it's also from sifat al-dhatiyah from another side because Allah is always described with kalam, with speech. The how of it, yani, how Allah spoke, we say Allah knows best. It is, yani, like the rest of His sifat. And we know their meanings, the how of them, we don't know. نؤمن بها ولا نعلم كيفيتها. We believe in all of His sifat, including His kalam, but we don't know how it is, its manner, its mode. فَالْمَعْنَى مَعْرُوفٌ وَأَمَّا الْكَيْفِيَةَ فَهِيَ مَجْهُولَ لَنَا. So the meaning of Allah's speech and His sifat is ma'ruf, is known in the Arabic language. وَأَمَّا الْكَيْفِيَةَ, but as for the how of it, then this is what is unknown to us. This is what the Shaykh said concerning the first point, yani that the Quran is the speech of Allah. And yani, secondly, he said that it came from Him without explaining how, as actual real speech, and He revealed it, sent it down upon His messenger as revelation. As far as this second part, yani the point number 46 or 45 in English, the Shaykh says, "Minhu bada bila kayfiyya qawlan," yani that it came from Allah, it originated from Allah, and yani Allah spoke this Himself as actual real speech, qawlan, without any attempt to explain how He spoke. Shaykh says, A, the meaning of it came from Him without kayfiyya qawlan. He said it means that the Qur'an was sent down from Allah. Nazala min Allah. It came down from Allah. Takallam Allah bihi wa anzalahu. Allah spoke it and He sent it down. He revealed it. And this is the meaning of minhu bada qawlan. Yani that Allah actually spoke it and anzalahu ala rasulihi wahyan. He sent it down as revelation to His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, lam yazal. لَمْ يَنْزِلْ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ. It didn't come down from other than Allah. وَلَمْ يَبْدَى مِنْ غَيْرِهِ. And it didn't originate from other than Allah. لَيْسَ كَمَا يَقُولُونَ إِنَّهُ بَدَعَ مِنْ جِبْرِيلٍ. It is not like the people of deviation say that it began or it originated from Jibril, or from the Lawh al-Mahfuz, or from Al-Hawa, yani that Allah created it someplace in the creation, in the air, and Jibril took it from there. This is all false. إِنَّمَا بِدَايَتُهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Its origin is from Allah. وَسَمِيَهُ جِبْرِيلُ وَبَلَّغَهُ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَحْيًا. وَالنَّبِيِّ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ بَلَّغَهُ لِلنَّاسِ. So he said, its origin is from Allah. Jibril heard the speech of Allah. He heard Allah's speaking. And he conveyed it to the Prophet ﷺ as revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet ﷺ conveyed it to the people. Here the Shaykh says, he makes an argument against, yani that's based from the Qur'an, against the idea that the Qur'an could be other than the speech of Allah. And if it's not the speech of Allah, then it's the speech of some created being. Some created being. He said, وَلَوْ كَانَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مِنْ كَلَامَ الْبَشَرَ لَاسْتَطَاعَ أَحَدٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ بِسُورَةٍ مِنْ مِثْلِهِ. Yani, if the Qur'an was the speech of a human being, then one of the people, one of the human beings would have been able to bring a surah like it, to reproduce something similar to it. If a human being spoke it, then a human being can produce something similar to it. But when they were unable to do that, دَلَّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ مِنْ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ عَزْ وَجَلَّ. This indicated that it is, in fact, the speech of Allah. Because human beings were unable to make anything like it. Allah says that which its meaning is this is the basis of this argument. Allah says, subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 23rd ayat, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبَدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِنْ مِثْلِ. He said, if you're in doubt about what we have revealed to our abd, our worshipper, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then bring, yani produce one surah like it. وَدَعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And call upon your witnesses, meaning your helpers and your supporters, and anybody that can help you other than Allah, if you are really truthful. Get all the help from anyone that you like, to produce even one surah like it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said another place in Surah Hud, I don't know, Surah Hud is 11th surah? Huh? 11th surah, 13th ayah. He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَاهُ قُلْ فَأَتُوا بِعَشْرِ صُورٍ مِثْلِي مُفْتَرَيَاتٍ. Yani, so, or they say that he has invented it. Then say, bring 10 surahs like it that have been invented. Bring something like it. فَعَجَّزُهُمُ اللَّهُ بِذَلِكَ. So Allah rendered them incapable, yani, unable to produce anything like it, even though they were Arab, Fusaha, yani they were eloquent, masters of the Arabic language. وَالْقُرْآنَ بِلُغَةِ الْعَرَبِ. And the Qur'an is in the language of the Arab. وَبِالْحُرُوفِ الَّتِي يَتَكَلَّمُونَ بِهَا. And the letters of the Qur'an are the letters that they speak with every day. وَهُمْ يَحْرِصُونَ عَلَى مُعَانَدَةِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِإِسْتَطَاعَتِهِمْ أَنْ يُعَارِدُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ لَمَّا ادَّخَرُوا وَسَعًا فِي ذَلِكَ. So the Shaykh said, these people were diligent and they were eager to oppose and to resist the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If they had any ability whatsoever to resist or to oppose or to object to this Qur'an, they wouldn't have spared any effort. They would have used everything in their ability to oppose it. But when they were unable to do that, دَلَّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ الَّذِي لَيَأْتِهِ الْبَاطِلُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفِهِ. But when they were unable to produce anything like it, when they were unable to oppose, yani this challenge from Allah to produce anything like the Qur'an, even one surah, this indicated that indeed it's not the speech of human beings, but that it is the speech of Allah, which no falsehood can come from before it or from behind it. And the time is coming close. Allahumma sta'an. I'm going to stop here from the Shaykh's commentary, and I'm going to read a little bit of what Shaykh al-Albani mentions concerning this particular point, and then we'll return to the remaining points next week, bi-idhni Allahi ta'ala. And Shaykh al-Albani mostly is conveying, yani from the commentary, the explanation of al-Imam Ibn Abi al-Izz. So, yani that commentary in its entirety is available. There are some translations of it, summarized and complete summary, I think from published by Jamiat al-Imam in Riyadh. So I'm going to like try to read a little bit of what the Sheikh said here, and we're not going to read that much of it because the time is upon us. We'll just take a few minutes of the time between the Adhan and the Iqamah Bi'idhin Allahi Ta'ala. Sheikh Al-Albani Rahimahullah says, this statement that we read in the beginning of this session from Al-Imam Al-Tahawi Rahimahullah, this statement, this kalam from the author, Al-Imam Al-Tahawi Rahimahullah, has been conveyed or have been conveyed to us by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah in his Majmu' Fatawa, in its entirety, this statement concerning the Qur'an being the speech of Allah, and he used this statement of Imam al-Tahawi as a basis to bear witness to what the people of Sunnah believe. He took the statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi as a basis for what the people of Sunnah believe. Likewise, Al-Imam Al-Albani rahimahullah says, the Shari', the one who is explaining Aqidah Tahawiyyah ibn Abi al-Izz rahimahullah, he also mentions some of what he said. And from what he said, that which has been stated by Al-Imam al-Tahawi, Al-Imam ibn Abi al-Izz al-Hanafi, he says, that which has been stated by Al-Imam al-Tahawi, هو الحق الذي دلت عليه الأدلة من الكتاب والسنة لمن تدبرهما وشاهدت به الفطرة السليمة التي لم يغير بالشبهات والشكوك والآراء الباطلة. Al-Imam ibn Abi al-Izz said, that which has been stated here by Al-Imam al-Tahawi, it is the truth which is pointed to or proven by the evidences from the book and from the sunnah for whoever would reflect upon them. And it is also borne witness to by the fitrah, the nature, the natural, the nature of the human being that has not been corrupted, that has not been changed by dubious matters and doubts and false opinions. In other words, what Al-Imam al-Tahawi says here, it is proven by evidences from the Qur'an and the Sunnah, and it is also borne witness to by the nature of the human being, if it hasn't been corrupted. Then Al-Imam ibn Abi al-Izz, he says, in his explanation of Aqidah Tahawiyyah, he says the people have been divided in this issue of kalam, the speech of Allah, to 9 opinions, 9 views. And he mentions all of them in detail, in great detail, what they believed and what was the basis of their belief, their false beliefs, and the refutation of them. Sheikh al-Albani mentions 3 of them, and I'll just kind of summarize a little bit. He said one of them, the third opinion, is he said that some of them, and this, who said this? This is the opinion of Ibn Qulab and whoever agreed with him, like the Ash'ariyah and others. Third opinion is that the Quran is ma'anan wahid, qa'iman bi dhati Allahi, huwa al-amr wal-nahi wal-khabr wal-istikbar, wa in ubira anhu bil-ibriyyah kana Qur'anan, wa in ubira anhu bil-arabiyyah, I'm sorry, in ubira anhu bil-arabiyyah kana Qur'anan, wa in ubira anhu bil-ibriyyah kana Tawrah. That it is an idea that is with Allah. The Qur'an is an idea that's with Allah, and it includes commands and prohibitions and information and inquiries. And if it is expressed in the Arabic language, it's called the Qur'an. And if it is expressed in the Hebrew language, it's called the Torah. The seventh view, he mentions, the Sheikh mentions the seventh view, he skips to the seventh view. He said, أَنَّ كَلَامُهُ يَتَضَمَّنْ مَعْنَى قَائِمًا بِذَاتِهِ وَهُوَ خَلَقَهُ فِي غَيْرِهِ وَهَذَا قَوْلْ أَبُو مَنْصُورْ الْمَاتُرِيدِ. He said that the seventh view is that the speech of, that the Qur'an is his speech, which actually entails an idea, which is with Allah, subsisting with Allah. And it is something that he created in outside of himself, created somewhere in the creation. And these are 2 of the views that he mentioned. Then he mentioned the 9th view, which is the correct view. He said that it is, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always spoke, إِذَا شَاءَ, if he willed, وَمَتَى شَاءَ, and whenever he willed, وَكَيْفَ شَاءَ, and however he willed, وَهُوَ يَتَكَلَّمُ بِهِ بِسَوْتٍ يُسْمَعَ وَأَنَّ نَوَى الْكَلَامِ قَدِيمٌ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ السَّوْتَ الْمُعَيَّنْ قَدِيمًا وَهَذَا مَأْثُورٌ عَنْ أَئِمَّةِ الْحَدِيثِ وَالسُّنَّةِ. He said, the 9th view is the view of the people of Sunnah, the people, the Imams of Hadith and Sunnah. It is that Allah speaks with a voice that is heard. Jibril heard him speaking. Adam heard him speaking. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard him speaking. He speaks with a voice that is heard. And the Naw al-Kalam Qadim, yani speech as a whole, has always been with Allah as a description of Allah, yani eternally. وَإِن لَمْ يَكُنْ السَّوْتَ الْمُعَيْنِ Even though certain specific speech is not qadim, yani because Allah spoke at different times. But speech as a whole is a characteristic of Allah that was with him, that is with him eternally, even though he speaks from time to time, yani with speech. The scholars have expressed this meaning as kalamullah qadim an-naw wa hadith al-ahad. Yani the speech as a whole for Allah, yani is qadim, eternally with Allah as a characteristic of Allah, although he, yani, speaks from time to time with recurring individual occasions of speech. This is the view that's conveyed from the people of hadith and sunnah. And then the Shaykh says a couple of other points, and we'll go through them quickly. He says the meaning of kalamullah minhu bada bila kayfiyya qawlan, yani the meaning of it's the speech of Allah, and from him it originated without explaining how as actual speech. This is a refutation of the Mu'tazila and other than them, because the Mu'tazila claimed that the Quran did not originate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentions, and Ibn Abd al-Izz is saying that the speech of Al-Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah refutes the saying of those who said that the Quran is just an idea that's with Allah, that you can't imagine hearing it. For indeed, yani, they said, that which is heard, and that which is sent down, and that which is read, and that which is written, is not the speech of Allah. But rather, it is only an ibara, yani some expression of the idea that's with Allah. And indeed, Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, yani, he refuted them by saying that it is the speech of Allah that originated from Allah himself. And this is what many of the scholars from amongst the Salaf said, that it originated from Allah and it will return to Allah. The meaning of it originated from Allah, yani, is that the reason why the scholars of the Salaf said it originated from Allah is because the Jahmiya from amongst the Mu'tazila and others besides them, they were saying that Allah created this speech in some place, in something in the creation. So the speech originated from that place, not from Allah. The scholars of the Salaf said, Minhu bada, yani meaning, huwa al-mutakallam bihi. Yani it originated from Allah, meaning he's the one who actually spoke it. He spoke these words. Not from something in the creation. And then he mentions ayahs from the Quran. I'll mention just one of the Tanzil al-Kitab min Allah al-Aziz al-Hakim, that this was sent down, yani the book was sent down from Allah, min Allah al-Aziz al-Hakim. And he mentioned a few other ayahs. That's in Surah Zumar, first ayah. And he mentioned Surah Sajda 32:13. And he mentioned Surah Nahl 16, 20. Then he said, and then we're going to end with these couple of just brief commentaries. He said the meaning of wa ilayhi ya'ud. And Imam Tahawi didn't mention this, but many of the scholars of the Salaf said, minhu bada wa ilayhi ya'ud. It originated from him and will return to him. It will return to him. The Quran, he said, it means that it will be removed from the chests of the human beings and from the printed copies of the Quran. So nothing will remain in the memory, in the chest of the human beings, not even one ayat. And nothing will remain in the Musahif, the printed copies of the Quran. And this has come in a number of authentic narrations. As far as his saying, Bila kayfiyya, yani that originated from Allah, as real speech without explaining how, he said, La tu'rafu kayfiyyat takallumuhi bihi, yani that we don't know how, the manner of how he speaks. And qawlan means laysa bil majaz, yani by him saying, yani bada'a, or minhu bada'a, yani qawlan, he said this means that it wasn't something metaphorical or figurative, that it was actual speech. And he's saying that he sent it down upon his messenger as wahi. It means that he sent it down upon the tongue of the angel, yani Jibril. The angel Jibril heard it from Allah, and the Prophet ﷺ heard it from the angel Jibril, and then he read it to the people. So this is what we have had a chance to mention for today. Inshallah, next week, Bi'idhni Allah Ta'ala, we're going to continue with this topic. And we'll be reading from a book that was gifted to me, Azim al-Minna, Fi Jam Aqaid A'immat al-Sunnah, some very important statements in this book, which is a collection of the various writings of the Aqidah of the Imams of the people of Sunnah. So next week, Bi'idhni Allah Ta'ala, we're going to read a little bit from this concerning the points that remain, especially related to why this topic is so important and why it is kufra to say that the speech of Allah is from other than Allah. Inshallah, bi'idhni Allah Ta'ala, we'll read some of this in next week's session. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grants success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone and in accordance with the authentic sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that Allah recognize, record, and reward our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and our errors, and that He grant us al-thabat, to remain firm. And especially after Ramadan, that we remain firm upon the khair that we experienced in Ramadan. May Allah grant us al-thabat upon this khair, and thabat ala siratul mustaqim, until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant a quick and speedy and complete recovery to those amongst us who are sick. And we ask Him to shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away, and to fill their graves with light, and to make them spacious, and to admit them into His paradise, and to save them from the punishment of the hellfire and the punishment of the grave. And we ask Allah to grant relief to the Muslims, men, women, and children who are being slaughtered and persecuted and murdered in Palestine, as well as in Yemen and Sudan and Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan and Burma and China and India and wherever they may be in the lands. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant relief. And indeed, Allah is the one who al-musta'an. He is the one that help is sought from. Ya Rabbi.